Well, looking at the agenda, it seems that we've reached the end, which is not too surprising because it's 5 o'clock and we've been on our seats and busy with our minds, you know, since 8 o'clock. So I have the, I'm not quite sure if this is an honor, but more or less a privilege, I'd say. I mean, to wrap up. I have to confess that I'm not really very keen when it comes to volunteering for wrap-up roles, because, I mean, I think you can either lose, you know. Either, I mean, you go and stick for a protocol, kind of like wrap-up, and just, I mean, thank all and everybody, I mean, who participated in this exercise and this conference of today, or you really try to summarize all the various and very important points being made throughout the course, and this will easily lead to another at least 1.5 hour full lecture of myself, so I'm not going to even try or attempting this. But I would nevertheless like to close with a few thoughts that crossed my mind while listening to the various speakers in the course of this morning and also in the course of today's, this afternoon. And I'm absolutely certain, I mean, that many of you have taken notes very individually on the points and on the various aspects that you probably found interesting, inspiring, new, critical, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to me, I mean, I've noted a few, just a very few points. So what is it actually that we can take away from this conference looking at NATO's new roles and responsibility? I'd start with three very, very general ones. I mean, they almost sound a bit banal, but nevertheless, I'd like to stress them. There seemed to me, again, in the course of this morning and this afternoon, rather broad consensus and broad acknowledgement for the fact that, yes, NATO's military and political transformation seems to be in full swing. Again, may sound a bit banal, but while looking back just only at, say, a year or a year and a half or 2 years ago, I recall having a broad debate outside and also partly inside NATO about, I mean, the lack of any raison d'être of NATO. It seems to me that we've left that behind, and I think that that's a very good thing to do. Secondly, I mean, there seemed to be broad acknowledgement amongst our ranks here that there is a good need for NATO to remain a central forum for transatlantic security cooperation and also to remain a very, very important facilitator when it comes to the convergence of interest and views on either side of the Atlantic. Again, looking back just, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, it seemed like we had a broad and very vast gap between the two sides of the Atlantic. But now looking at the agenda, which is currently on our table and also will be ahead of us, I think that we've come to see that there are a variety of very important common transatlantic projects that we have embarked upon already and will continue to embark. The Secretary General this morning listed his, described his list of things to do. And while listening to him, just mentioning the various issues ranging from the fight against terrorism all the way to Ukraine and Russia and what you have, that probably, I mean, Gail Mattox was one of his ghostwriters because, I mean, her list of functions that she presented to us, of NATO's functions, were very much overlapping with that. So what are the limits? What are the to-do things for NATO, I mean, that were mentioned by many of you in the course of today? Again, just a few thoughts that I would like to offer to you. The first one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was pointed out by many of you was that there obviously seems to be a need for NATO to develop a stronger strategic consensus among either sides of the Atlantic when it comes to what we actually want to do with this organization. We heard a lot this morning about NATO's outreach policies and NATO going global, or the need for NATO to go global, but I also heard this morning some views referring to NATO as a purely classical collective defense organization. NATO should stick, I mean, to its military core function, it was said this morning. So at least this strikes me that we need to continue working on finding the consensus about how political NATO should actually become when transforming. And when it comes to the political transformation of NATO, obviously it's not entirely up to the Secretary General, with all due respect, or to NATO headquarters to push that political debate within allies or among allies. But most importantly, it's up to our capitals. It's up to our, you know, governments in order to make use of this transatlantic forum of NATO in order to actually put on the table what we'd like to put on the table to discuss politically. What else must we do? We must link up more systematically to other international players. This was repeatedly said throughout the day, and I couldn't agree more. Yes, we need to do much better when it comes to establishing strategic partnerships with the European Union, with the United Nations, and also this was not mentioned today, but I would nevertheless add it also to the OSCE, for instance. When reaching out more geographically, I mean to a wider region, as we discussed throughout today, we need to obviously underpin our political willingness and our willingness to declare that, you know, to declare our intention to do so by, as it was said, and I think rightly said, by expertise, by financial and resource and other humanitarian funding. And you can be assured that these thoughts are taken well on board and back to the headquarters. Elizabeth, I think it was you, I mean, introducing, at least to me, a new term. You talked about transformational diplomacy. So I will definitely, probably you will alike, keep that in the back of my mind, because to me it was a very convincing argument saying that this is actually what NATO has done while reaching out to partner countries some years ago, and this is probably what we should continue doing while reaching out to failed states in order to bring them back into a family of democratic countries. Yeah, we need to be better on reconstruction, no doubt about that. And Barbara, Chantal, and others thought, I mean, are well taken on board of how to do better in Afghanistan, better in the Balkans, and obviously also a bit better when it comes to our mission in Iraq. Claire Short, I mean, you painted a picture which was, I mean, it was said already, I mean, very, very, very pessimistic. And I must personally say I share many of your analytical points when describing, I mean, the shortcomings and the shortcomings in institutions, but also the shortcomings when it comes to take on political risk in order to actually meet crisis in Africa or in other parts of the world. But I would nevertheless, I mean, point back saying, I mean, there is also always this picture of this glass being half full and half empty. I personally would point also to the fact that we reach at least a little bit of a half full glasses in civil war-torn countries like Bosnia or even Afghanistan. Admittedly, I mean, we are far from having completed that glass, but I would nevertheless make the case that NATO has started at least to make a difference here. So lots of things on our list to do. And without, again, I mean, adding them all or adding more to them, I would just like, I mean, to say that obviously we're going to continue the discussion on transatlantic issues like that. I very much hope that we're going to continue the discussion also within the framework of WISE or of other organization and partners, which leads me to my last point, which is my list of people and colleagues I would like to thank. Once again, very warmly, we'd like to thank, I mean, US-wise and also the German-wise chapter. I mean, you really took on board, I mean, the bulk of the organizational burden, I mean, to make this conference happen. And so, once again, my very warm appreciation for that. I would also like to thank all speakers, maybe moderators or panelists or everybody else who have actively participated in this discussion. Thanks a lot for sticking with us till the very end at 5 o'clock. Thanks all those, I mean, who simply listened and stayed on their seats. It's also very warmly appreciated. And last but not least, I would like to thank my own colleagues from NATO. You've seen probably some of them, but you haven't seen the full team because some of our colleagues have been working in our back room covering our event on the NATO website as we spoke. I mean, so once you go back to your hotel rooms or to your offices and you want to click on the NATO website, you'll find your speeches, your photos, your intervention, it's all there. So a very warm thanks, I mean, to Celeste and to Chris and Walter and George and all the rest, I mean, who've made that happening. Thanks also very warmly, I mean, to my U.S. colleague James Snyder and Patrick Stevenson, Judith and Miriam, I mean, for working so hard on this conference. I very much do appreciate. And also I would like to say a word of warm appreciation to our translators, I mean, sitting there in our in the translation booth, Andre and colleagues. In fact, it was surprising to me this morning when I heard the Secretary General speaking French, but that was a good, an additional reason for you being here and making it possible for us to communicate with the Secretary General in the two NATO official languages. So thanks a lot for that as well. On that happy note, I shall close. I'm wishing you a nice, relaxing, sunny evening back here in Brussels and very much hoping that our paths shall cross soon again. Thank you.